Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Is it impossible for the prophet of the Mormon Church to lead the Mormon people astray? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are going through a speech given by Ezra Taft Benson, who would become the 13th president of the Mormon Church, a speech titled The 14 Fundamentals and Following the Prophet. We are on point number four, and what does that say, Eric?
It says the prophet will never lead the church astray. And then right after that, Benson quotes President Wilford Woodruff, fourth president. Mm-hmm. And here's what he said. I say to Israel, the Lord will never permit me or any other man who stands as president of the church to lead you astray. It is not in the program. It is not in the mind of God.
Now, several LDS leaders have said something very similar to that, to put the Mormon membership at ease, that God will never allow them to say anything that could cause them to go in a wrong direction. Joseph Fielding Smith, who was the 10th president of the Mormon Church, said, I think there is one thing which we should have exceeding clear in our minds. Neither the president of the church, nor the first presidency, nor the united voice of the first presidency and the 12 will ever lead the saints astray or send forth counsel to the world that is contrary to the mind and will of the Lord. Now, we've discussed in the past how Mormons, even though they make comments like that, will still try to tell us as outsiders that they do not believe that their prophets are infallible. That's not the impression that statements like this give. If it's impossible for the Mormon leadership to lead the membership astray, we would assume that when it comes to their teachings, that it sounds like, at least it sounds like, they're moving in that direction or pointing in the direction of infallibility. But they will tell you that they're not infallible almost again. Here we go. It's that plausible deniability that we see so prevalent in the Mormon Church, not just today, but in the Mormon Church's entire history. There always seems to be a certain amount of plausible deniability that allows them to get off the hook. If the prophet will never be allowed by God to lead the church astray, then what do you do with the first vision? I mean, we've talked about this. There is no evidence that there was a revival that took place in the time period that Joseph Smith gives. There's no evidence at all that great multitudes were added to the churches during that time period in 1820. Yet you talk to most Latter-day Saints, and they hinge everything on this first vision account that supposedly took place in 1820, which, of course, the revival that Smith was talking about took place, but it was in 1824. Mormons don't understand that.
Not only that, but they want to conveniently forget about the 9 different accounts and who was seen, how many were seen, all, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. There's so much inconsistency there, and yet so much of what this religion is based upon is based on that first vision account.
And you know, you and I both know that Joseph Smith certainly was leading his people astray when he talked about having gold plates that contained the Book of Mormon. We've gone through that narrative I don't know how many times, showing that there's just no way possible that Joseph Smith could have had gold plates, or if you're a fan of farms or the Neil Maxwell Institute out of Brigham Young University, if you want to call them tumbaga plates, go ahead. Still, even if you get the weight down to 53 pounds, he still cannot do what he claimed to do in that account of taking the plates out of the ground, tucking them under his arm, heading off for home 3 miles away, getting attacked numerous times, jumping over a log, running at the top of his speed. The story is just not believable. If Joseph Smith did not have gold plates, then obviously he did lead the people astray, and Mormons to this very day believe that he had gold plates. Just ask them. They'll tell you that. I've done this many times. What about polygamy? When Joseph Smith tries to tell his wife Emma he's not practicing polygamy, of course he was. Was the prophet not leading his own wife astray when it came to that issue? These are fallen human beings. They are just as susceptible to leading people astray as anybody else. For the Mormon leadership to continually tell their people that they will not be allowed by God to lead the church astray, I think is playing on the members' gullibility on this, because all they need to do is go back and look at their own history, and they will start to see things that you, Eric, and I have seen in our study of Mormonism. What caused us to find that Mormonism was problematic? By reading their own accounts. We did not study Mormonism by reading books about Mormonism. We studied Mormonism by reading the very books that they produced, that their own church produces, their own leaders have produced. Those are the sources that we've always gone to. So when they say that the prophet will never lead the church astray, I find that very questionable. But yet some Mormon apologists, and we've been bringing up Michael Ashe because of his book, Shaken Faith Syndrome. Why would you have to write a book like that? Obviously, because there's a lot of members in the church that have been shaken by some of the things that they have read from their own church, from their own sources. But what does he say about this? Because he doesn't seem to believe this statement that the prophet will never lead the church astray.
Well, on pages 14 and 15, this is where the theme of his whole book is found. And he said, we should not assume that all prophets of all ages understand all gospel doctrines, principles, and practices in the same way. We may, for example, mistakenly believe that a prophet is always spiritual, knowledgeable, kind, and disciplined. He could never err on religious matters nor hold false beliefs.
Now, you would think, though, that when they're behind a pulpit, that's different. Or when they write a book, that's... See, I think what Michael Ashe is doing here is he is building a straw man. He's making the assumption that we are taking off-the-cuff remarks that some guy might have said around a drinking fountain or in a hallway. We're not doing that. We are citing their very sources of what they say when they are standing behind a pulpit, for instance, in general conference or at a fireside, or at, in this case, the 14 Fundamentals was a speech given at a BYU devotional. Benson is giving what we would call a sermon. I would assume he's got his ducks in the row when he gets his points together to project his ideas to these young people at Brigham Young University. To assume that he doesn't really believe this is absurd. Of course he believes this. He really feels that what he is saying to these people is something that he thinks is coming from God. Now, we would question that, but I'm sure he thought it was true when he taught it. In this speech, Benson goes on to say, President Marion G. Romney tells of this incident which happened to him. And I'm quoting, I remember years ago when I was a bishop, I had President Heber J. Grant talk to our ward. After the meeting, I drove him home. Standing by me, he put his arm over my shoulder and said, My boy, you always keep your eye on the president of the church, and if he ever tells you to do anything and it is wrong and you do it, the Lord will bless you for it. Then with a twinkle in his eye, he said, But you don't need to worry. The Lord will never let his mouthpiece lead the people astray.
That's a little disconcerting, Bill, to have somebody say, if he tells you to do something, well, you do it, no questions asked. And if it's wrong and you do it, he'll bless you anyway. Where scripturally in the Bible do we see, in Matthew chapter 7, the wolves in sheep's clothing. And, oh, by the way, if you go ahead and make a mistake and go ahead and listen to the wolves, that's okay because all are bygones. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with what the Bible is talking about here.
False prophets usually don't have a history of admitting they're wrong. They usually always insist they're right.
And they always point any blame to somebody else or to the very people whom they're talking to. You misunderstood what we were saying.
Correct. I love the part, though, when he says, and if he ever tells you to do anything and it is wrong, wait a minute, and it is wrong, that's not supposed to happen. It can't be wrong.
Well, and then he says that at the end,
right.
A twinkle, he says, don't worry, the Lord will never let his mouthpiece lead the people astray. But that's not what Michael Ashe says, Bill, because Michael Ashe says on page 22 of his book, he says, just because a prophet has the keys of the priesthood and the authority to receive revelation from God for the direction of the church doesn't mean that every word spoken by a prophet is infallible, inspired, or factually accurate.
That's disconcerting.
That is very much so.
Have you ever heard anything said like that in general conference? I've never heard a general authority say something like that.
And Ash contradicts what Marion Romney said on page 16. Ash says, we need to be aware that sometimes we are too quick to uncritically accept the things we hear or read, even from sources such as church leaders or in church magazines. It's not that their words aren't usually true, but we should use our brains as well as our spirits when we study the gospel.
Wow. Well, why wouldn't they be quick to jump on what they're being told when they're being told over and over again that they're never going to be allowed by God to lead them astray? I don't understand that. I mean, is Michael Ash the only person in general conference critically analyzing everything that's being said over that pulpit? I don't think most Latter-day Saints do that.
Oh, I think most people are there to, when it's time for them to raise their hands to the prophet, they're going to do it regardless of their ideas. And I think most Mormons probably aren't thinking as deeply as Michael Ash, because how could the prophet who's speaking there in front of us, how could he lead us astray?
Well, I don't think Michael Ash is going to get a job in the public relations department of the Mormon Church. Certainly if these comments are starting to be made public, I'm sure some eyebrows would be raised, even though you say that you bought this book at Deseret Book, which is a church-owned bookstore. Gordon Hinckley, who was the 15th president of the church, said, now, in conclusion, do you believe this body of men would ever lead this church astray? Remember whose church this is. It carries the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who stands as its head. His is the power to remove any found remiss in his duty or who is teaching that which is not in harmony with his divine will. And as we've mentioned, you've mentioned in this series, how do we know what Mormons are being taught today as being doctrine is going to be looked upon 30 years down the road as being mere opinion?
Thomas S. Monson could be saying things at this conference coming up here in this month of April, and he says things that are going to be off target. How do we know 30 years from now they're going to look back and say that was just his opinion?
And especially since they've been told over and over again that when conference messages come forth, as Benson has said, those are your marching orders. You can take that to the bank, Latter-day Saint. If it's said in general conference, you can believe it to be true. How do we know that? How do we know it for sure? It's just the words of mere men.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear past editions of more than 100 shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is available on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the box that says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.